A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So we can commence our class. We will start the physical puja. Let us gather. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Guansiyin Pusa. Namo Guansiyin Pusa.那么观世音菩萨，那么阿弥陀佛，那么阿弥陀佛，那么阿弥陀佛，那么弥勒佛，那么弥勒佛，那么弥勒佛，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨，那么地藏王菩萨。那么地藏王菩萨，那么地藏王菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，阿拉亨萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦，布当巴嘎万当阿比瓦提米。Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Sanghang Namami Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato SammasambuddhassaBuddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami.Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adinadana Ramani Sikkha Padang Samadhiyami Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkha Padang Samadhiyami Musawada Viramani Sikkha Padang SamadhiyamiSuramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Padipa Puja Offering of Light Ganna Sarappa Dithena Dithena Tamadangsina Tiloka Dipang SambuddhangPujayami Tamonudang Ganda Sambarayutena Dupenahang Suganghina Pujaye Pujaniyangtang Puja Bhajanamuttamang Vanna Ganda Gunopetang Etang Kasuma SantatinPujayami Munindasa Siripada Sarorohe Pujemi Bhutang Kasumena Nena Punena Matena Cho Hotumokang Pupang Melayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vinasa Bhavang Adivase Tuno Bante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Muttamang Divase Tuno Bante Pale Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Muttamang Adivase Tuno Bante Bojanang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Muttamang. The puja expiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferred merge to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Gem. Bhutang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. So remember, just relax body and mind completely. Be at ease, so that your body and mind has got nothing to disturb you. So the relaxation part is very important. When you can relax, means your body and mind is at ease. Then after that, you just silence everything. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, because the knowing is always linked to the arising of thought. And the doing is also by the thought intention. So you don't try to know, don't try to do, means your mundane mind is not active. The thought process is not there. That's why you can be aware. So without thought, you're already aware. So the second support for awareness base is after you relax, you just silent everything. Don't do anything. Don't try to know and just maintain the inner awareness nature. So maintain awareness. And the third support is maintain this awareness for as long as you can. You have to stabilize it so that it stabilizes and the awareness nature is very, very stable. Then after that, the fourth support you do later. Don't have to immediately. You can only do the last fourth support, which is trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation without the interference of the thought process. Means no more thought-based instruction or doing. You just, during that time, your mind already stable, the awareness nature. Then you can silence everything and stay at the heart. Then let that nature move. Let the awareness detect whatever it wants to detect. Then, if you are patient enough, not long, you will locate the gateway to your heart. So the gateway to your heart is also the gateway to our nature. It's somewhere around the heart area. Okay, so with this instruction, maybe though for those who are already familiar, you should be able to develop this awareness-based meditation quite easily. For those who are new, you have to contemplate, reflect, and develop the understanding. Then when you understand, you do, you progress faster. So don't have to be in a hurry. You can try it out and develop the stability of it. Initially, it will take a while because most people are so used to the thinking, the mundane thinking. Because within our daily life, most people have a lot of mental hindrance because their spiritual faculties are not developed. So they are most of the time think a lot. So this heedless thinking comes from a mind that is not trained, does not have the spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sti, Samadhi, and Panya. So when you lack these five, the opposite five, which is the mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state, arise. And they are the usual sensual desire and ill will, your like and dislike, your pleasant and unpleasant reaction to sense experience, which most people without Dhamma, without understanding, will frequently arise. So if in the daily life you have a lot of this sensual desire, you will at every moment of sense experience, and it develops into a habit. So the habitual stirring of mind, reaction of mind, will create these two mental hindrances, sensual desire, you will, your like and dislike, pleasant, unpleasant sense experience. So when this arises, it's a mental hindrance. That's why you will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So in order not to allow this, you must use the first three of the four support to help you stabilize the awareness nature. Then the third one, of course, sleepiness. Or sloth and torpor is also a mental hindrance. Then the fourth one is when you have fear, worry, anxiety. Your mind becomes restless. Means you have unresolved problems or issue in life. Then your thought become very actively creating that fear, worry, anxiety. We call it the restlessness of mind. the mind become restless. It want answer, but it cannot find answer. So instead of silent everything, develop the clarity to understand what is going on, they go and worry about the problem. Then through that worry, they project their thought, develop the fear, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. Then all these are wrong thought with the mental hindrance, create more restlessness of mind, and that mind continue to proliferate with all the sankhara activity until it become a cocoon of repeated thought that make you depressed. That's why people who are depressed or have problem sleeping or resting, they develop what they call depression and also insomnia. They cannot sleep. And these are mental hindrance. And when you have doubt, it's another mental hindrance. When you don't know what to do, you are not clear about life, you don't understand what is going on. So doubt is also a mental hindrance. So throughout the day, without the spiritual faculty, you will have mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. If this continue for a long time, means that heedless thinking, that worry, that anxiety, so you become like throughout the day very heedless. You do nothing except worrying, planning, then developing all the fear, worry, anxiety. So these are the repeated habitual tendency, the pattern of thinking, the conditioning, the belief system from your memory. Especially your habitual tendency, they keep on arising. Then things that you hold on to, the unfinished business that you cling on to, you attach to, you give meaning to, it keep on arise to haunt you. As long as you don't understand and you have not resolved it, it will not be rooted out. That's why people who don't have all this understanding, they find it very difficult to start meditation. So the fourth support to develop awareness-based meditation is to counter all this. Because when you just relax, maintain awareness, you cannot think. The thought don't arise. Then without thought, the inner nature, the awareness nature, surface. You must get used to that. Stabilize it. Until you come to realize that you have another mind, which has nothing to do with the thought process. Then you start to understand, who are you? What are you? And how you function as a human being or living being. Then you will be able to answer all the questions that I used to, like, throw out for you all to contemplate and reflect. It's like the Mahayana Gong'an that can trigger off enlightenment. Without thought, who are you? Without thought, there is no egoic mind. Without the egoic mind, there is no atta. Without thought, there is no duality, no concept, no idea, no words. That's why you can be at peace. So without thought, our true mind will surface the awareness nature. So this awareness-based meditation is to develop that so that you can be with your true mind in complete tranquility, stillness, Then when you are in that state, there is clarity. There is tranquility, stillness. Then from that nature, you will come to understand why the Buddha say our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arise, all things arise. All creation start. The mind right appearances or consciousness that arise from mind creates the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. That's why this so-called creation of ours, they come from mind. That's why mind is the forerunner of all things. Whatever that come out is the mundane mind, the aggregates of mind. But there is a nature before it, before the arising of thought, before the creation. And that one is your true mind, your true nature. You must realize that and use that to meditate, to live life, to develop understanding, clarity, to observe, to insight into phenomena, to awaken. Only that mind which is beyond thought, beyond mind, can develop the understanding. You all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation and try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness or awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chokawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Ittipeso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bija charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarti satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavate swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanaiko pajatang weditabo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato saukasango ญาญาปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆยะดีดังจัตตารีปุริสยุคานิอัตถปุริสปุกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยดักขิเนโยอัญจะลีกะระเนโยอนุตตรังปุญญังเกตังโลกาสาธิสาธุสาธุสาธุ We are at page 436 of this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, Volume 3, Chapter 2. This is based on the commentaries by Master Xuan Hua. Okay, we come back to the sutta part. Sutra. In the Buddha lands of the Ten Directions, there is only the Dhamma of one vehicle, or we call it the Supreme Vehicle. There are no two or three, except those spoken by the Buddha as expedients. And those expedients, devices that the Buddha used when he proclaimed them, those are but false appellation used to induce living beings, means initial expedient devices or skillful means for the Buddha to attract people into the Dhamma world or the learning of the Dhamma. So that he may teach them finally the Buddha's wisdom. The Buddha appeared in the world only for the sake of this one real matter. The other two are not the truth. So here the sutta mentions it as the ultimate supreme vehicle or the final true teachings of the Buddha. To the end, they would not use the small vehicle teachings to rescue living beings, because these are what they call the sainthood way teachings. So the sound hearer, the Pachika Buddhas, they developed this type of teaching and developed the enlightenment. Whereas the ultimate supreme vehicle is for those who go the Bodhisattva way, or the Buddha's vehicle. The Buddha himself dwells in the great vehicle or supreme vehicle, and in accord with the Dhammas he has gained, adorned with the power of Samadhi and wisdom. He uses this to save living beings, having certified to the Supreme Path, myself the great vehicle's Dhamma of equality. Were I to teach by means of the small vehicle, even a single human being, I would have fallen into stingy greed. But such a thing can never be. Then we go to the commentaries. There's the outline, the singularity of the teaching, the singularity of the practice. Here they also use the word singularity. Commentaries by Xuan Hua. In the Buddha land of the Ten Directions, there is only the Dhamma of one vehicle or the supreme vehicle. Means there is only one kind of ultimate supreme teachings. And what is it? It is called the great vehicle. There are no two or three, means the two vehicle and the three vehicle that we have discussed earlier on in fact does not exist, because these are Buddha's expedient devices or initial skillful means which he utilized when he proclaimed them for teaching living beings. It's like an introductory teaching. Only the Buddha vehicle is the ultimate real teaching. Except those spoken by the Buddha as expedient. So this one is the same as earlier explained. So the commentary say, however, although it is said there are three, but ultimately there is only the Buddha vehicle, and that the two vehicles and the three vehicles, they don't really exist. Still, because he wishes to teach and transform living beings, the Buddha set out expedient dhammadhamma, means expedient devices or initial teachings. He speak of the small vehicle and the great vehicle. He established the lesser vehicle to lead living beings towards the greater vehicle. And those are but false appellations. They are just false names. They correspond to nothing in reality. Used to induce living beings, to teach and transform living beings and cause them to cultivate the easy first, and then later to seek the great supreme vehicle, the Buddha vehicle, so that he may teach them the Buddha's wisdom. So the commentary say, because he led and guide living beings who eventually attain the Buddha's wisdom. The Buddha appear in the world only for the sake of one real matter. It is always for the same reason. The other two are not the ultimate teachings. The two vehicle and the three vehicle, they are not the ultimate teaching. To the end, they would not use the small vehicle to rescue living beings. The Buddha would never use the teaching doctrines of the small vehicle to teach living beings. The Buddha himself dwell in the great vehicle. The Buddha himself abide in the great vehicle. That is, in the great Buddha vehicle, and in accord with the Dhamma he has gained, the Dhamma he attained in the Bodhimandala is true, real, and is not a provisional device or expedient device. Adorned with the power of samadhi and wisdom, the Buddha has 10 powers. Previously, when Shenhua lectured the prose passage, he should have mentioned them, but he deliberately did not do so, so that those of you who like to study the Buddha Dhamma could wait nervously for a while until the verse section to have them explain. Okay, so now I think Xianhua explained them. The Buddha has 10 powers, 10 kinds of wisdom power. They are, so this is their classification. The wisdom power of knowing points of enlightenment and non-enlightenment. That is, the Buddha is aware, enlightened to the point of what is enlightenment and what is not. Then the second type of wisdom is the wisdom power of knowing the karmic retribution of the three periods of time. That is, he knows the operations of karmic retribution as they work in the past, present, and future. Then the third type of wisdom is the wisdom power of knowing all the dhyans or samadhi, liberation and samadhis. So the Mahayana tradition, they actually break down the what they call cultivation into the various Sanskrit or Pali name or words used during the time of the Buddha. Huh? So there is this Dhyan Samadhi. Huh? Then there is also this liberation. Huh? But ultimately, there are the various type of cultivation that can lead to the mind that is in the state of Samadhi. Yeah. Then liberation can take place. That is the four Dhyan, means in the Theravada tradition, they call it the four jhanas. Jhanas. So here they call it Dhyan. Dhyan. The spelling is, I think, following the Sanskrit one. And the eight Samadhi. Yeah. The first, second, third, and fourth Dhyan, plus the station of limitless space, the station of limitless consciousness, the station of nothingness whatsoever, and the station of neither perception nor non-perception, that is the, these are the eight Samadhi. So maybe I have to explain it to you in the Theravada tradition where we normally use the term. You see, in the Theravada tradition, they have the four type of form jhana. So form jhana means they are cultivator of the way who develop this jhana, jhanas, or a type of concentration, which they actually cultivate. It was very popular in the early days in India before the arising of Samma Sambuddha Sakyamuni. They cultivate extensively the four type of form jhana. So in Mahayana, they call it the Si Chan. Then there is another four jhanas. They call it the formless jhana. The first four is called form jhana. Then you have the formless jhana. So Mahayana call it Si Chan Ba Ding. Means initially it's a four type of jhanas under the form rhyme. Then they develop it further to develop the four type of formless jhana, making it a total of eight. So these are called jhanas because they start with jhanic factors to develop them. So the five jhanic factors that allow one to develop this type of jhanas are the initial application, followed by sustained thought. Means the initial application of thought, followed by sustained thought. At first, you apply your thought, then you sustain it. Then after that, you develop some form of experience. You will experience the jhanic factor of piti. The mind become very calm, very composed, because it starts to develop into one-pointedness, type of concentration. Yeah? But before it fully develop, you will first experience a collected mind which is very peaceful, very calm. Then there is this joy, or they call piti, spiritual calmness or spiritual joy. Yeah. Then after that, you continue to develop it, relax into it, and then silence your mind. Then you experience a very blissful type of state called Sukhang. Sukhang is the fourth jhanic factor. Then after Sukhang, the mind becomes very quiet, very still. Then it stays at one point. That's why the last jhanic factor is Ekagata, one-pointedness of mind. And that one, energy will build up. Yeah, wherever we locate the mundane mind, the thought energy will go in. Yeah. So people who develop these jhanic factors, they can actually develop a way to intensify that type of energy. So initially, when your jhanic factors are still weak, especially those in the first jhana. First jhana, they only develop the first three jhanic factors. The first one is vitakka, then vichara. Vitakka is the initial application of thought. You apply your thought. Then vichara is the sustained thought. You sustain your thought there. That's why they have this 40 object of meditation to do jhanas. They call it object of meditation. Then some call it kasinas. They call it the 10 kasina, the 10 type of jhana object of meditation, which they call kasinas. So all these are within the 40 type of meditation object that yogi or cultivator of thought-based meditation doing jhana, they use them. In India at that time was very popular. It's part of the Hindu teachings. You read the Vedantas, all those things, they have them. And it was so popular because people believe these are jhanic state of mind. They are very, very like supreme or very rare. And those who can do it, they experience piti, blissfulness. Then they develop the one-pointedness and the energy, everything very strong. Then what happened is, all this energy, when they build up, they got no way to release it. So they use it to push it up to develop the jhanas. Then as they develop these jhanas, they can actually develop the byproduct, which they call psychic ability. Mind reading, divine eye, and many other abilities. But these are all, we call it mind's manifestation, or what the Buddha described as the nature's law of mind, citta niyama, means the order of manifestation of mind, means nature's law with regards to mind. That's why they call it the word is citta niyama. Citta niyama is everything about the mind, how it functions, how it develops, and how it creates and all those things. So under the universal characteristics, the five universal characteristics or pancha niyamas that they put at the top, the first two is called scientific law, physical law of nature. They call it uttu niyamas. Then the second universal order is biological order of nature, which the Buddha called Bija Niyama. Then after that, as we all know, the law of karma, Karma Niyama. Then the fourth one is law of mind, Citta Niyama, law of mind. Then the last spiritual law is the universal order of truth, Dhamma Niyama, the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach. So these are the five pancha niyamas that governs the whole universe. So scientists developed the first two scientific law, which is a physical law of nature and biological order of nature. That's why they become very advanced. They know a lot of things and they can develop a lot of new understanding, technological understanding. we have seen in recent decade, since the 80s until now, about 40 over years, we have progressed so fast in the field of science, technology. Yeah, these are scientific law. But for those who cultivate the other three, Karma Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama, they become very wise and they develop this spiritual understanding to penetrate the nature, to understand, like the scientists, a lot of things that is beyond the mind and beyond concept, beyond thought. So all these are possible. So what happened is, coming back to the four form jhana, I just explained the first jhana just now, when the five jhana factor, you develop it, especially the first three, then that time, there is still thought involved. That's why there is initial application of thought, then sustained thought. When you sustain that noting or that mind that actually focus or concentrate, then it become very, very calm. Then you experience piti, sukang. Finally, it become ekagata, one-pointedness, very stable. So in order to move beyond that, you have to train, develop the skill, to develop the understanding of this five jhanic factor. And as you become more and more skillful, you can straight away drop off the first two. You no need to train like last time, the initial application of thought or the sustained thought. These two is like no more required. You straight away can go into that piti. Means you experience that calmness of mind, that spiritual joy, spiritual calmness. Then you continue to meditate. Finally, you will experience not only the first two jhanic factors as very gross, you will also relinquish the third jhanic factor of piti. So that time, piti also will become like not so refined already. It's like you feel that it's gross already. So you will stay in sukang. So first jhana, you have all the five jhanic factor, especially the first three. Then when you move on to the second jhana, you relinquish the first two jhanic factor, which is vitaka and vichara. Then the third jhana is you relinquish piti. Then when you are in the fourth jhana, you relinquish sukhang also. So by then, the piti sukhang you have experienced and now is no longer exciting. So you develop psychic ability. At the fourth jhana, you develop equanimity of mind. The mind becomes very quiet, very equanimous. There is in one pointness, the energy is very strong. Then I remember in that state, the mind doesn't move at all. Where all the thought cube into one point, no thought. It's like you are in the enlightened state. That time nothing can disturb you. Because I went through that. Then I explained to you your heart area, like there's a cylinder of energy, very strong and very still, this type of energy, very still. It's in the state of equanimity. That time nothing can disturb me. Even thunder or whatever cannot distract. Even you pour hot water or whatever, it cannot. Then it is not afraid of anything. The mind is unwavering. But when you are in that state, I remember, if you do loving kindness, metta, your metta is very strong because that energy, you can radiate it out. For those who don't have outlet that do this style of jhana, if you do loving kindness, metta, it will help you because you can radiate that energy out and that energy become love, compassion, And when you develop that, your heart keep on opening up, opening up. Then that time you will have a lot of kindness. Then like you understand the Dhamma. But actually it's still not the real one. Because later on, after I came out to work, I remember, when I don't do that type of concentration or absorption meditation so often, then I realize the heart there, the energy become like less and less strong. Then it starts to like go back to the mundane level again. Although still got the what they call, because you have done it so often, I become so skillful. I can be in the state of calmness, anaprasati, very fast I go in. Then I can just stay there. That's why the nimitta, everything. After the first jhana, you will see nimitta already. Nimitta already. And nimitta is nothing. It's just that when your mind become calm and composed, your sankhara become a movement. A movement. And that movement is like, because you are in that state of calm and peace, it's like a lot of harmony. Then depend on your character, your coming past, that particular type of nimitta will appear. For mine, is the violet color one, like purple one, moving very fast. It show you a lot of things. Mine is mainly like effervescent. It moves very fast to let you comprehend what anicchang is. So during that time, I remember, the nimitta come very fast. Then initially, I doesn't know what this thing is, but I felt very good, very calm, very composed. Then there is this meditative joy or pity. Then later on, it becomes very blissful, very blissful. Then when you experience that nimitta, your mind become very different. There is so much joy, and you like to meditate. You keep on doing it. But then, these are jhanic factors. Understand? Except pity is actually an enlightenment factor. But if you use the jhana way, you will experience it more or less as a jhanic factor. Then after that, I remember when I don't meditate so often, I start to see movement, movement. Then the craving arise. The five mental hindrance last time, which was completely suppressed when I was doing all this jhanic thing, absorption thing. Then what happened was, all this, they start to surface. That's why I realized, how come I have craving, I have desire. That time I just graduated not long as an engineer, civil engineer. Then I realized I want to study master, I want to study law to help me accomplish more and more of my career and all those things. Then I started experiencing the money aspect. When I received my salary and all those things, then I start to experience the career life, of course. The career life come with society's, they call it, when you are working, not only that technical work that I do as an engineer, but it come with other activity in life related to my career. So as a civil engineer, you know, they have a lot of good food on. They will have a lot of reason to have meals together and all this thing. But you involved with project, and project has this type of money to spend. Then in order to motivate the workers, the top management and all things, the incentive is all this. So they have entertainment allowance, they have a lot of other things, traveling, many other. Then of course, the other type, no need to know. That one is part of society, how to get job, all those things. That one, I think you will learn the trade yourself when you are in it. But I overcommit because I don't want to get involved in all those things, and I know it can be very messy. That's why I choose my career. Then I go into area where I'm not required to do all this PR thing, or entertainment and hustling. This is something that I am not interested in. And also I am not good at. That's why I qualify myself when I apply for a senior post later on. I say, you get me the position which I don't have to get myself involved in it. I will do all the technical thing. Yeah, I'm very good in what I capable. So because of that, I expose myself to a lot of things. And in construction, as you know, they will force you to drink, when I tell you. And your third precept is, the last precept is very difficult to keep. The non-taking of liquor, beer, intoxicant, I'll say. But for me, maybe karma good or what, only for the first 1 or 2 months, I remember. They try to coerce me, not to say force, gently coerce me and get me to drink. Then initially I try. I want to find out what this thing is. Then I realize I don't like I don't like drinking all those things. It's not to say I have a negative perception of it. Then I later on realize my family DNA cannot drink. All of them very fast, the alcohol affect the DNA, the brain, and all those things. So I don't like. Then I have to have a reason to tell them I don't like. So initially, like I said, I continue. I try not to get involved. But every time, because as a contractor, you need to be with them, have the meals and all things. Then what happened was, there was one incident, I think, not long after I start working, I have to accompany my classmate who arranged a honeymoon for us to Indonesia, I think Lake Toba, the cheapest one. I went with my wife, he also went with his wife, then my sister-in-law. So what happened was, before I take off, I got some food poisoning, I think. Finally, I came to know it was typhoid. Actually, I was supposed not to fly, but the doctor was so confident. He said, don't worry, I give you some medication. Here you go. So I actually was not well when I was there. I actually met, not to say met, I have to go and see some Indonesian doctors. And you know, they don't have clinic or not. They like one small corner in a, I think it's an abandoned building or house. And sometimes a school compound, the room or what. Then a primary school table like that. He alone, he's the doctor. He diagnosed me. Then when he want to give me medication, he just pull out the drawer. Then that primary school desk with the drawer. He just take the medicine from there. No dispenser, no nothing. I saw all those things. I dare not take the medication. That's why I endure. Then I came out, admitted hospital. Then 1 week later only, I sort of slowly recovered. After that, good excuse. Doctor's advice, cannot drink. After that, nobody forced me to drink. Every time they see me, they say, oh, atio. Chinese tea. So they order Chinese tea for me. So that's how good karma maybe then I overcome all those things. Yeah. So what I'm trying to explain is, as you come out to work into society, into the career life, you are exposed to a lot of different things. So at that time, you don't meditate so often. But at that time, I still don't know what is daily mindfulness and all those things. I only know the continuous mindfulness, absorption, anapanasati. That's how I went in. Then after that, from the form, jhana, the first four, which I explained, you can continue and develop it into the formless jhana. The mind can actually penetrate the form level into the formless jhana. And this formless jhana, when you develop it, your mind actually penetrate the mundane mind. Because that one-pointedness, you can actually went in. Then I remember the first day I told you at the uni when I meditate, my mind like travel into infinite space. Infinite space. Then that time, like I did it only for a short moment, a few minutes or whatever, then I withdraw because of certain condition I withdraw. Then after that I came out, my mind so calm, so blissful, so still. So I thought I must have meditated maybe for only half an hour. Well, that was the first time I did my meditation without knowing what is meditation. Then I look at the watch. 4 a.m. in the morning. I sat at midnight. I was there sitting 4 hours without me knowing. That's how I experienced the formless, right? So this infinite space is the first one you went in. And after that, you can also develop the same understanding to develop infinite consciousness. Then just now they use the word station, the Dhyan station of infinite space, infinite consciousness. Is Theravada terminology is not station. They call it the realm of infinite space, the formless realm. Then the formless realm of infinite consciousness, consciousness like infinite, like space, infinite consciousness. Then you can also go to the third formless jhana, which is nothingness. Like there is nothing, completely empty. This is false emptiness, the realm of nothingness. Like there is nothing. Void, complete void. But this is not the real emptiness. This is not sunyata. This is the one-pointed, formless realm type of experience. Then after that, your mind becomes so subtle, so fine, they reach another level, which they call the realm, the infinite, the formless state, the formless realm of neither perception or non-perception, because it becomes so fine. It's like that rhyme is like you neither perceive or you don't perceive. That's why it's called the infinite, the formless rhyme of perception, neither perception or non-perception. The mind become like, but you exist for very long, according to the sutta. You can exist for very long, but finally, is still within the 31 plane of existence, you will still fall back. So hopefully with this explanation, you have a general idea of what this Si Chan Ba Ding is all about, the four form jhana and the formless jhana. Okay, we go back to the notes. So this wisdom power of knowing all the jhanas, liberation and samadhi. So they explain the Si Chan Ba Ding, the four type of form jhana and the 8 samadhi. As I think they call it samadhi. So Dhyan is called Chan Ting. Those who develop jhana, they develop Chan Ting. So they call it Dhyan. Then after that, there are 8 liberation. The liberation in which inside there is a mark of form, and outside and outwardly form is contemplated. So this is a Mahayana way of breaking it down. Then the liberation in which inward there is no mark of form, and outwardly form is contemplated. Then the liberation of the pure liberation body within, pure liberation body has been attained. Wherein the pure liberation has been attained. Then the liberation of the they use the word station of limitless space. It's the formless rhyme of infinite space. They use the word limitless. It's actually infinite. Then the liberation of the rhyme of infinite consciousness. Then the rhyme of nothingness. Then the rhyme of neither perception nor non-perception. And finally, the eighth one is the liberation of the samadhi, of the extinction of the skandhas. Means all of the skandhas, means your aggregates of mind. This is of reception and perception, means all of sankhara. So these are the classification. They call it the eight liberation or the eight renunciation. There are also eight victorious places. When one renounces greed and desire, one attains to the place of victory. They are called the victorious place, in which, oh, this one is just the classification. I think we can skip. These are the eight victorious. If you are interested, you go back and read about it. This means that in cultivating these eight kinds of Dhamma, you can renounce, can turn your back on thought of desire and attain a victorious and liberated wisdom. The first of the eight victorious places, it is said that inwardly one has the mark of form and outwardly a small amount of form is contemplated. At this stage, one's samadhi power is not yet complete, and it is to be feared that if a large amount of form were contemplated, one samadhi power might become scattered. So this is the Xianhua's explanation. So a small amount of form is contemplated. For example, one single corp is contemplated, not a lot of them. You watch one corp goes through its stages of decay, swelling, turning green, and so forth. In the second, the eight victorious place, not one, but maybe 100, 1,000, and 10,000 corps are contemplated. Corps everywhere. They all go through changes. Swell, rot, burst open, are eaten by worm, etc. Actually, there are nine stages of cemetery decomposition, known as the nine mark contemplation. So this is under Kayanupassana, the last category of cultivation, the nine stages of cemetery decomposition of the dead body. Then the eight victorious place, you add emptiness and consciousness to form the ten all places. These three Dhamma, the eight liberation, the eight victorious place, and the ten all places, should be known by all cultivators of the Dayan school. So the third of the Buddha's ten wisdom power is knowledge of all this Dayan, liberation, and samadhi. So this is according to the Mahayana tradition. Maybe Xuanhua's commentaries. But for us as cultivator of the way, you can just read, then skip through. Not important. This is their way of practice. They believe this is useful, important. But when you have perfected the ten perfection, all this will appear as byproduct. Your nature will understand. But the understanding may not be what is being described by the commentaries. You will come to understand them differently. So some may tally, not all. So it depends on your understanding. Okay, we stop at number three. To continue the list of the Buddha's ten powers, we stop here. Okay, I'll mark this page. Okay, we are at page 439. Now we can continue your second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have regarding the meditation, the Dhamma, and how to apply all these teachings that we have developed and learned to help us understand life and resolve whatever life problem that we may encounter. And the other part which you all can share is Dhamma in daily life. Eh? Whatever you experience through your cultivation, you can share them eh? So that other people can also learn from your experience.
Good evening, yeah, brother yeah, Teo, yeah, this is Teo and all Kalamita. Mm. 大家都很礼让，所以
对对对对，
所以我就 take this opportunity
啊，很好
，to share my meditation during my last Tuesday
啊，是的。
Okay, last Tuesday, 我回家回得很迟，
嗯，
所以就赶着去煮饭，然后就吃了饭就赶着出来，
啊，
然后 on the way when we came, so, Freddy 就说，他要吃水果，那我讲我先驾车，
啊，
然后其实我在家到刚出来不久，还没有到 Mid Valley 的时候，啊，我是很困，就是说很爱睡，很爱睡的。
Yeah, 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 yeah.
但是哦，我打了两个那个 yawn 了两次之后哦， yeah, 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 yeah. 然后我就很 relax 的驾车哦，我发觉到诶，那个困就是说那个爱睡的念头就没有了，
没有了，嗯，刷掉。
就我就直直来到 Bradio 这边，
刷掉。
然后当我进来上课的时候，我见到大家的时候，诶，我真的很开心，就没有一点点的睡意。
对，
然后 after 我们的 puja，然后我们就去 meditate。After that，我就在 meditate 的时候，我听到 Bradio 的 instruction 是非常 clear 的。
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then 我就接着 meditate. After that, until 我 Bradio 叮，
我知道，
但是我不能出来。
你还在里面躺着。
对，我一直在，我想起来，可是又不能
yeah, yeah, 不用起来的那个时候。
所以我就接着在 meditate meditate， 然后 after that， 我出来之后 ，because of second session， 我就出来，
嗯，
那我就 recall Bradio 刚才教的东西，其实我是听得很清楚，
对，对
但是我一 recall 我 blank 的哦
，blank 的，对
，blank 的，没有东西，
不是在脑袋里面的，
After that
它是 the nature understand， finish 啊 ，then you try to remember 啊，不行了，不行了，especially when you reach the stage which Alicia has gone through。You will reach that stage where you know this understanding that you have when you listen is not from memory, it's the nature understand. So when the nature understand, it has nothing to do with the memory and the thought. That's why that phase you all will go through as cultivator. That's why all along when I came out to share and I teach, I keep on repeating many, many times on many occasions,that this realization or Dhamma that we are seeking or we are trying to realize is beyond thought, beyond mind. It's not from memory. It's not from the brain, the activity of mind. It's an understanding born of awakening, the direct see, or the silent mind observing and awakening.It can either insight into phenomena or insight into nature, develop the clear understanding, or it will silently observe and develop the understanding, which is also an awakening. We are the silent mind that observe, got no words one, no memory, nothing one. It's just the silent inner awareness.And when you listen from the heart, it's the same. Initially, when you are not used to it, then the words like got no meaning because it's not linked to the brain, the memory. So at first, like bits and pieces, not connected, where you are so used to from the memory, from the forehead, you listen. Then when you listen from the heart, initially like got gaps on, don't worry.Actually, the listening from the heart, when you know how to meditate from that nature, you just silent everything. Then when you are very sleepy, yeah, like what happened to Alicia while he was drying. But for other people, you don't have that ability. If you're really sleepy, you have to stop somewhere and change driver or take a rest. Yeah. Especially long distance, don't try to be a hero, yeah, and endure. But like her case, if she can like yawn two times. I also experienced it in the past. When I just go through that one, because the nature like, no, okay, you want to do the meditation later, you can. Then after that, I alert again, like she described, she can come to the house, go through the puja. Then when she lie down to meditate, well, at that time, your nature actually wants you to meditate, you will know it. Then when you feel that you have to lie down, it's silent, everything already. Especially those who have done the awareness base, when it stabilizes, you will know it. The nature will tell you when you have to meditate on. Then sometimes you go to certain places, you will feel that nature's energy coming on. Then you know you have to silence already. You have to go into the meditative. So just go into it. Then later on, as you become skillful, you can silence everything as you travel on the bus. Like when I went to Utaisan, Putosan, I can feel them. Then I silence. Sometimes I even announce the Kayamita. For those who can feel the nature's energy, yeah, you should silence your mind and develop it. Then like she went in until the bell ring, she's still inside. Not to say don't want to come out, very difficult to come out. If that thing happened, don't worry, just continue to meditate. Continue to meditate. So this type of understanding is very beautiful. Yeah, after you come out already, like you try to remember them. No? Yeah, most people who don't understand, they will have this mundane mind telling them, oh, this is so beautiful. The Dhamma is so beautiful. You will know one, very different one from normal type of knowledge base or thought based on. So what happened is, when you try to remember, you cannot recall anything. Like, you go to your brain, understand? No? Listen, again, for those who still haven't gone through. Our wisdom is from that nature. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. Like I used to tell Yun Chan last time, you cannot learn one. You have to meditate to realize it, one, to awaken to it, one. Or you contemplate, stabilize the understanding until you become Yoniso Manasikara. Then at the moment of sense experience, it will prompt you. Immediately it will surface. It will give you. So that one, no need to remember. It will just come out like that one. Yeah. And that is the real one. Yeah. But a lot of people don't know this, don't understand it. They thought like anything must remember. You don't remember, then how to act? But that is a fallacy, a delusion. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. Why you want to remember? That is thought. That is knowledge. That is not wisdom. Wisdom, no need to remember. It's from the nature. When you encounter a situation, it understands. The Dhamma will surface. Then it know what is real, what is unreal. It will know how to act. It will know how to move. It will know how to do things. That's why when I share, I never prepare anything. If I were to prepare a note and try to remember, I cannot teach the way I teach. That's why a lot of you all will come to know, yeah, the way I answer question is very different. When I am doing that, sharing that session, the thing that come out is from my nature, it's not from me. That's why all the transcript book you read, that teaching that come out is very different. It's direct from the nature. But you cannot ask me to write book. Cannot. I cannot. Because if I were to write, I have to use memory. Understand? But when the understanding come, I can make notes. I can make notes. Means short notes. Then when I share, I cannot like read the notes, cannot, no use. When I share, I have to share based on my understanding. That's why I will normally, like if I want to contemplate and reflect how I can actually share all this, then like I used to say, I write them down, okay? I write down means the pointer. So I look at the pointer, after that, I forget about it. Then when I come, depending on who the audience are, the question that come and the thing that I supposed to deliver, the nature will know. It will deliver in accordance with. That's why this is the phase, the stage where cultivator will go through. And today I think we are very lucky because Alicia, based on this reporting, the sharing, this is what will happen. So when it happens, don't be like surprised or worried. A lot of people worry. Oh, but my memory so lousy already. Not like that. Understand? As you transform, your delusion is already less and less, less and less. So you have less and less avijja. So when you have less and less avijja, means what? You have less and less clinging, grasping, holding, all the reaction or come on. So this type of memory that heedless people use or mundane people use, you don't use really. You only use the factual memory or what we call mechanical memory, understand? Non-psychological memory. The psychological memory, you cannot use one, you know one. Because these are all views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, creating all the wrong thought from the egoic mind. The one that based on that Dhamma understanding from your nature, the wisdom one is, you act following your understanding, means your wisdom that you have developed through your direct seeing, or first turning, second turning, and third turning type of wisdom that you have developed and stable. You have means you haven't. At any one time, you will come out. When you live life, when you confront anything, it will surface. That's why it protects you. It has nothing to do with all this on the selfishness, the greed, the delusion, the clinging, the grasping, all the more. That's why finally, you will come to realize you try to remember things, cannot. Cannot. Because it has become non-grasping, understand not? The aggregate has free itself, is non-grasping, non-clinging, and it cannot hold on to things really. It cannot remember one, actually. We are not supposed to remember one, that type of thing. That's why sometimes when I share with you, I have to ask you, how did I come to here? You have to tell me. Then the moment you tell me with that condition, I will know why I come to here. But the word that I say, this moment I say, next moment is gone. It's not in my memory. It doesn't come from memory. It's from that nature. It come out. And it came out, gone. Came out, gone. But the vibration that is within nature, you need either a cultivator with that type of mind that is ready to receive, then you receive. Otherwise, it's stored in all this image of the Buddha, where you have crystal and all those things, and they were stored. They were stored. Yeah. Even this building, the concrete and all those things, they were stored. Where there are aggregates inside there. Yeah. That's why you go to the temple or the way place or what, you can feel that type of energy. But the type of energy, most of the time, is not wisdom energy, unless there are enlightened beings there. Great beings there, their nature is there. Otherwise, it's mostly thought energy. When people do thought-based jhana, concentration, when you train your mind, you develop calmness, pity, you radiate loving-kindness, metta, compassion, all those things. You do chanting, the vibration, all very good. Then you pay respect with the faith, the energy go in on. These are normally faith-based, thought-based or vibration-based. They are not the type of wisdom. The wisdom energy you refer to, the Dhamma wisdom is there. The vibration is also very fine, very different. And that one, only cultivator of the way can comprehend, receive, and understand. It depends on the level that cultivator is. When you have that condition to receive, that cultivator or no one, that type of Dhamma suddenly interests them, then the nature can absorb in and can feel the importance. Then initially it's like something very new and they were no one. This type of Dhamma that come out from that type of cultivator is beyond them. They know one. Where you haven't heard before. And sometimes because of your past, you cultivated before, the moment you hear, you receive, you understand, you also transform and awaken. Yeah. That type of being are not so common. Unless really you encounter them. Because that type of being actually has a lot of parami on if you can receive then them. So this understanding, hopefully, will motivate more and more Kayamita to develop the faith, the diligence, then sincerely cultivate and walk this path. It can be done. That's why in the early days, I used to share with you, I said, maybe if I alone can do it, all Kayamita cannot do it, then maybe you all may not believe because only I can do it. Nobody else can do it. Yeah? How? It's not easy. But then you look around now, the last few years, 4 or 5 years, since the day the website came out, 2016 until now, so many Kayamita, some are very new, like Pucheng De Hong. Then Alicia went to the Breaking Housing. Then even in B De Hong and many other Kayamita who developed the daily mindfulness and follow the instruction and do. They can experience the same thing. Even Song De Hong, they go through. And everyone, of course, is different. But they have their unique ability to receive and to develop the understanding. And the path that they go through, ultimately, they all match, understand? Especially Han's sister, Pucheng. He said, everything that I guide them, I explain to them, they realize it along the way. So it's not my theory or my teaching. No, these are cultivator of the way. If you do it correctly, following the awareness base, your nature will realize the same thing. Because truth is basically truth. That's what I used to say, truth is everywhere in the midst of nature, in the midst of life. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. And when they see, they awaken, the characteristic is the same. The understanding is the same. Ultimately, it's the same. Okay, so this part I want to share first. You all can rejoice first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. There's another part. Yeah, I was watching this, the movie. I forgot the title already, but it's a very good movie, I think. The Wuxia Pian one, the Sword Swim. Because there was one part, that's how I saw. This lady went into a Taoist temple. No? A Taoist temple, This lady actually is one of the princess of the one of the dynasty that was overthrown by the emperor, supposed to be Li Siming. You heard of Li Siming? He actually overthrew the other emperor. Then he became the emperor. And this lady, I forgot what's the name, I don't know what Gongzu already. She's supposed to be trained like any other emperor's son. No? Very good at sword fighting, horse riding, everything. She learned all the skill. Then she's very famous. Then when the father got assassinated, the mother also assassinated, and she was like told to run for her life and all those things. So she that time was full of anger, full of vengeance. How can the uncle do this type of thing to kill the whole Not only the parent, no, all the family members, no, overnight. They call it the Eastern Palace, Dong Gong, where all the princess and the taizi all stay there. So because of that, she was on the run. Then because she was so skillful, she was also quite smart. I won't say wise, smart. So she very determined. She tried to fight back everything. So every time she was able to reach certain places and turn the thing around, and but they were on the search for her, and she find it very difficult to escape because they fear that she will come back and take revenge and overthrow back the king. So the advisor want to actually finish her. In Mandarin, they call Zan Chao Chu Gen. You want to weed out the weed, you must remove all the weed with the root together. If you don't weed out the roots during the summertime or springtime, they will blossom again. Zan Chao Pu Chu Gen, Chun Feng Chui Yu Shen, something like that. So she actually did. Then she later on actually met a very good, they call governor of one province, where the grassland people try to attack but couldn't penetrate. So this governor was very good. Then she met him and managed to go in and become the advisor. Then she fought many wars and won. But finally, a lot of people died. A lot of sacrifice, everything. Then later on, she get to know a lot of other people, including one guy, the son of the grassland leader and all those things. Then their acquaintance was very unique, so they were together. Then they realized, because of what she wanted to do with a strong mind determination, finally, the final sacrifice, a lot of people died. Even including that the grasslands emperor, I think, son, that one is the adopted son. The mother also died. Then she had a lot of problems until finally she almost died also. But one swordsman, very good one, rescued her together with a Taoist, a very famous Taoist monk. Or Taoist practitioner, I think. So they can see, they know this lady is special, so they save her, then heal her and bring her to that Taoist temple. The main story is at the Taoist temple. She was looking around the Taoist temple and she finally saw one room. You can write the Mandarin word, Alicia. Wu wei. So this one means inaction. So this lady study a lot on, because under the emperor and all those things, they study a lot on all the literature, everything. She tend to believe Buddhism. She doesn't really believe Taoism. You know why? Because of this word. So this word, for those who would know Mandarin, Wu wei. This word, can understand. Those who know Mandarin, it means no need to do anything, in action. She saw these two words, she walked into the room. She said she wanted to stay in that room. And she stayed there for days and night without eating, without, until people panic. Then the nun, actually out of concern, the abbess, the nun, went in to talk to her. Then she said she cannot understand these two words. The reason why she don't look at Taoism is because he said everything also don't act. Then what happened to the world? Because the father is an emperor and as well. Then they always fight for the throne and all those things. And for her, after the family got assassinated, she also, then she realized the deep meaning, no, later on, after the lady nun, the empress of the temple, explained to her, you have gone through life, you have suffering, you have misery, understand, is it? You must have gone through a lot of tough situation and maybe sad moments, shocking moments, and all things, life and death, all things. What you try to achieve, what you use is your skill, your thought process, your memory, what you have learned, and all those things. Then she is very good at warfare, swordsmanship. He said, every time you use that, maybe you may win sometime. But finally, at the expense of what? Your own people, the good people, the one that sacrifice for the governor sacrifice actually for all the people there. Then they try to develop the understanding and peace and get them to promise not to harm and kill the person and the citizen. Then she agreed to commit suicide. He agreed to commit suicide and let them take over the fortress. Because the emperor, which is very far away, this one is a boundary between the grassland and them. And because of the corrupt minister, all those things, all his requests that he sent back to Chang'an got intercepted. No, he cannot receive reinforcement, but he tried his best because he know warfare. He's a very kind and very responsible governor. So he did. Then this princess met him and knew where he was very famous. He heard from the people along the street all praising him. No, that province actually, the overall very big province, a lot of war refugees suffer a lot inside there. Only this governor's province is very special, no? Where everybody not only sufficient, they look after the refugee, they look after the poor, everybody have enough to eat, they never gonna conquer and all those things. So what happened was, after this empress explained all this to her, then she recalled. He said, that's why I've been sitting here for days and night. I cannot understand this two-word, wu-wei, inaction. That's why I got no answer, you know. Then after the emperor explained, then she realized what the meaning was. He realized, when you act with what? Huh? Memory, knowledge, your skill, you can be very good. So finally, what is the outcome? Because you interfere, as a, you have craving, you have desire, you want to take revenge and all that. So finally, he see the deep meaning of wu wei. Wu wei here doesn't mean you don't act, you know, don't do anything. You actually accord and flow. And this comes from a very profound understanding of Tao. The Taoist teaching, the Tao, the great Tao. That's why this Tao is very powerful. So the emperor pointed to the pond. There was one fish pond in the temple, the Taoist temple. He said, what do you see? He said, a pond. Do you see the fish? He said, yes. I have got the fish all inside the pond. Means what? It's like I have total control over the fish. Right? They cannot escape, they cannot run and all things. Right? We are the fish. But the emperor explained, right? Although I have the fish pond, I kept them inside. But do you think I have full control over them? I got no full control. Even fish, I cannot control. They have their behavior and all those things. And not every fish is the same. Then the next sentence really wake her up. Then what do you think of human beings? When you rule a country and a nation, It's like you try to force all this your own people, including like build a pond to protect them from enemy and all those things. But do you have full control? There are people who revolt against you, rebel against it without you knowing. So human being is it worse than the fish? The fish are more instinctive, understand? More easy to predict, not so cunning, not so selfish, not so revengeful. But human being, you got no control, understand? And then she come to a very important understanding of Tao. He said, ultimately, you may think you have full control. Understand? Based on what? Your skill, your ability to do things and all those things, to plan the other war, everything. But then there is skill, is it? The core principle behind what happened is the great Tao, is it? It's not you or anybody. Understand? You may plan. You may scheme, you may have whatever ambition or what. But ultimately, whether it materializes or it doesn't materialize, the core deciding factor is that teaching, the Tao. Where the Tao decide, where there is the movement, understand? Like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. And where these causes and conditions is not you alone, understand? Not? It involves the totality. So how can you control the totality? So what she is trying to tell him is every action causes a reaction. Understand? Repercussion. There are, they call cause and effect, cause and effect. So if you want to achieve something, if you try to do something, the action give rise to the friction of the action, which is can be karmic or whatever. So all this based on skill and knowledge, maybe when you are powerful, when you are strong, you can decide the outcome. But the outcome also at the expense of a lot of your resources, means could be your soldiers, your people, or what. Well, in time of war, both sides have a casualty. And so a lot of things went wrong. So why must you act in that way, he said. Then this princess asked, if I don't act, I just let the tyrant rule and the whole country became what? Chaos and all those things. Then the abbess said, by acting, does it bring about any changes or difference? Unless you have the capacity to act, and you take over and become what they are, understand, no? Their role, then all this will continue. Why not, he say, if you have the Tao, the understanding, you act and flow, understand, no? In time of war, there are a lot of suffering people, the refugee and all things. If people in front of you that you can see, you are weak, you don't have the love and compassion to act and to help, you want to go to war and make a big difference. Is that the Tao? Is that what you have learned, even from other religions? That's why finally she like wake up. Then she went and do all those charity things and all say help the refugee and all say. Then it's like, if you take care of karma, karma take care of your life, understand? So when she understand this two word, wu wei, means no condition, you don't manifest. That is what the wisdom of the wise are. That's why everything is about cause and effect. Causes and condition. No affinity, no condition, nothing manifests. The form and mind is just a vehicle and a tool for you to come, to live life, to do your duty. Then this one, subject to law of karma. That's why you have to do your duty. And this is not real, he said. Because the princess after that asked, he said, by helping these people, healing them, then this army of law come again, destroy and kill. So, not solving the problem. Then you know what the emperor told her, told the princess. He said, if you know this duel, you will not ask this question. Why? Does it matter, is it? What happened to them? They have their karma, understand? Whatever will be, is all conditioned. It's not for you to play God and try to decide for them and all. In the name of what? Love, compassion. No condition, nothing arises. Got condition, you manifest. And that manifestation, at there and there, when you help the man do that, this is your parami, understand? In future, when you are born in another life or what, when you are a refugee or what, people will help you, understand? People will manifest this type of kindness, and you will have the parami to receive. And this is what life is, but not so real. That's why each year you wave up. 如梦幻泡影,如露亦如电,应作如是观. So when you penetrate the Dhamma, you understand all this, then you know life destiny is not decided by the individual. It's decided by the totality of the movement, which is the Tao. The Tao is the core entity that decides what happened in life, in civilization, in all the evolution and movement. And all this is you way far, understand? Condition Dhamma, not so real, not what you think. Because in the unconditioned, he know you, he know me. Living beings that ni wo xiang, understand? The mark of a self cultivating, the mark of others, the mark of life, existence, Dhamma. They are all within the conditioned world, not what you think. So that message was so profound. It's just one episode on that. And I realized it was so beautiful, the meaning. Yeah. That's why human being, like the Abbot said, why you going to worry about all this and plot all this and keep on? Yeah? Because her mind was very strong, her will, that princess. Wants to make things right and want to revenge and all that. And hate the uncle for sending people after her, trying to capture her and trying to root out all the roots so that nobody can take revenge and be a threat to them and all that thing. So I realize, although it's just an ordinary movie, but the meaning, the Tao, that teaching is very profound and is no different from the Buddhist teaching. But that lady, the princess, don't understand. He said he followed the Buddhist teaching without understanding that the Buddhist teaching and the Tao is the same. Non-interference. Understand? Wu-wei. That concept is very beautiful. No need to act. Understand? This is the highest action. When you have wisdom, you will know how to act. By not doing anything. Means what? Accord and flow. Understand? So, in action means accord and flow. I write down. Okay, I think we have to end. I think the time is 10:33 already. So, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So when you understand Wu Wei, you will understand what accord and flow means. Means you don't act unless there are causes and conditions behind. Means you accord with nature. If nature's condition is like that, meant to be, you follow, you flow. Then you don't get harm and hurt in between us. There you echo and flow. You flow with the nature. And the nature, there is no such thing as right and wrong. right and wrong according to the individual. When you perceive it with negativity, then everything is wrong. When you perceive it with understanding, it becomes a blessing in disguise. Then things will turn around. That's why the whole movement is beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond duality. Yeah. Okay, so let us now compose our mind. Yeah? Share this merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata chirbumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumodito chirang rakkantu lokasasana etta wata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati siriya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatu kalina sasa sampati hetu cha vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we will end the whole session. Sadhu.